This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This morning we are going to for myself, be continuing with our analysis of the Holy Quran in terms of the verse in Surah Sad, which is the 38th Surah, verse 29, which I quoted before, where Allah says, "Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyatadabbaru ayati." Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "A book which we have sent to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mubarakun, as a blessing, so that you may contemplate, so that you may apply your mind to the verses in this book." So the application of the mind is that which is earnestly required of Muslims in the present day. We know that there are many hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that speak about knowledge. And in fact, the very foundation, the wall and the roof of this deen is built on knowledge. The very first word that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicates this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all of us that we should read. And what is the best book to read? The Quran. And what is the status of reading the Quran and learning? The status of that in the eyes of Allah is that it is a fard. It is a compulsory act. It is the act which precedes all other acts in Islam, whether it is your salah, whether it is fasting, whether it's going for hajj, whether it's giving zakah. That act, that fard act, that compulsory act, which precedes all those obligations which Allah has placed upon us, is the obligation of seeking of knowledge. And that is why this hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that ad-dunya mal'una, that this dunya is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except two people, the teacher and the student. Meaning Allah is very dissatisfied with people who are neither teachers nor students. So if you are not a student or teacher, alhamdulillah, now you are a student. You are learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via this channel and via many other channels and many other teachers that are teaching us, alhamdulillah. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Talabu al-ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslima." That to seek knowledge is compulsory, is fard on every Muslim male and every Muslim female. What does this mean? What does the hadith actually mean? The hadith doesn't say that knowledge is compulsory on every male and female. No. The hadith says, talab al-ilm, seeking knowledge is fard. So what is fard? To seek knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have put on us an impossible task if he wanted all of us to know everything. That's impossible. If he had said knowledge is fard, how would we have been able to accumulate all the knowledge? No. He says to make an effort to seek knowledge, that is the compulsory act. How much you learn and how much you retain and how much you will lose over the years, that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes us forget and Allah makes us remember. So you sitting in front or looking at your screen on whatever kind of device you're using, you are seeking knowledge. You have made an effort to be here at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. So you are fulfilling a compulsory, most important part of your deen. Because you can't make salah without knowledge. You can't give zakah without knowledge. You can't go for hajj without knowledge. And you can't fast without knowledge. And you can't live your life without knowledge. In fact, the most important thing today that we hold on to is knowledge. That is what we tell our children. Whether we live in a mansion or in a township, parents have only one message for their children. Seek knowledge. Learn. Become self-sufficient in knowledge. And this is not only going to university and then it stops. No, a Muslim learns min al-mahdi ila lahd, from the cradle to the grave. You don't suddenly change the 60 and say, oh, now I'm going to stop learning. I'm going to do something else now. No, it's a continuous effort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah, as I promised on Friday, we will be speaking on what do the letters that precede some of the surahs of the Quran, what do they mean or what do they indicate? Letters like Alif, Lam, Mim, Sad, Yasin, Taha, these are all letters that precede some of the surahs in the Quran. Are they just random Alif, Lam, Mim? Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi wa dalil muttaqin. And we start tafsiring the Quran from Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. Or is there a specific meaning or a wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placing these words before some of the surahs of the Holy Quran? And this lecture is important for all of us because we all read the Quran. But I would like you to consider to distribute this particular lecture to particularly children who are doing hifz, because it will put something of the Quran into perspective for them as well. It will show them that everything in the Quran is purposeful. Nothing in the Quran is not purposeful. And there is a meaning for everything, because Alif Lam Mim wasn't added afterwards to the Quran. Alif Lam Mim was brought from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, from the book by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from which the Quran was taken, and brought down by Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including Alif Lam Mim, Taha, Yasin. So what does it mean? What is the wisdom behind this? These letters are called al-huruf al-muqatta'at. Muqatta'at meaning something which is cut up. Qata'a means to cut up. So these are either disconnected letters, as they are, as we know them, or they're disjoined letters, or some call them broken letters, because they're individual letters. And these non-descriptive letters has been discussed by the Sahaba alayhi salatu wasalam. They have discussed these issues. And Abu Bakr, for example, his view was that these words are a secret and its meaning is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Abu Bakr's view. However, the majority of the Sahaba alayhi salatu wasalam considered it possible for Muslims to be able to discover the true meaning of these letters. In other words, it's not a closed book. It is our duty and responsibility to look and to what? To apply our minds to every letter. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, O Muslims, I've given you these letters. I even want you to apply your mind to these single letters, apart from the beautiful connected letters when we read the Quran with tartil and with tajweed. No, these letters, alif, la, mim. And this is how they were revealed, alif, la, mim. So many scholars say, you shouldn't say alif, la, mim. Because there's not a madda on la, mim. It was revealed as alif as a letter, lam as a letter, and mim as a letter. And this was the many in which was transferred to us verbally until today. Because the Prophet read it like that. So Abu Bakr said that, secret, can't touch it. That's the secret which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sir, asiru indallah. Others say, no, you can apply your mind. And the majority of the ulama right up to today agree that we should apply our mind to these beautiful letters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed at the beginning of the surah. Some also refer to these letters as fawatih. Fawatih means that which opens. Keys which open locks. It's as if alif lam mim is the key to opening the lock to Surah Baqarah. For example. And these letters, there are 28, some say 29 letters in the alphabet. Why do some say 29? Because some say that the alif and the hamza is two letters. And some say the alif and the hamza is only one letter. Ah. Be that as it may, whether it's 28 or 29, there's not an increase. It's the same letter. One is just written as a hamza and the other one is written as an alif. If we consider the alphabet to be 28 letters, then it is the first surprise is that these muqatta'at, huruf al-muqatta'at, these singular letters preceding the surah or the surahs are 14. There are 14 letters of the alphabet which makes up all these letters used as openers for some surah. That's point number one. That's the first miracle. 14 letters, and the alphabet is how many letters? 28 letters. So exactly half the alphabet is used to open these surahs. And guess how many surahs open with these letters? Al-huruf al-muqatta'a. So there are 28 letters. 14 of them open this surah. They're the keys to these. To how many surahs? To 28 surahs of the Quran. Subhanallah. So already we see in the making a logic. But now the question is, how, why did the ulama study these? Why did they study it? Why did they apply their mind to it? They applied their mind to it because that is what Allah says. I have not sent this book except for you to apply your mind to it. لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. And they really did. And by the way, applying your mind to letters is not like tafsir. Anybody who is interested in the Quran, any alim, any person, you don't need to be a scientist or a mufassir or an alim, to sit down and say, hey, these are strange letters, alif, la, mim. Let me see where else these kind of letters appear. And let me count the surahs in which these letters open these surahs. then he would have discovered. And he let me write down all the letters of the Arabic alphabet that is used in these opening words of the chapters. He would have discovered that there are 14 letters, half of the alphabet exactly. Number two, that these letters open exactly 28 surahs of the Quran, which is the number of letters in the alphabet. So it all comes down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and that is why some scholars have said that the reason Allah uses these letters is to give us a message. What is the message? The message is, take heed of the letters of the Quran. Every letter has its own wisdom. So Allah is drawing our attention also to those surahs, those 28 surahs. What is in those 28 surahs that is so special that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to draw our attention to? Yasin, Taha, Kaf, Ya'in, Sin, Qaf. Why does Allah? Some of the ulama say Allah is trying to draw our attention to those surahs. There's something in that surah that draws our attention to it. So 14 letters are used. Of these 14 letters are used in the introduction of 28 surahs, when 28 is also the number of letters in the alphabet. So the letters used are Alif, Ha, Ha, Ta, Ya, Kaf, Lam, Mim, Noon, Sin, Ain, Sad, Qaf, and Ra. These are the 14 letters. What we should do, those who listen and those who have time now, is to actually confirm this. Go to your Quran, you have now a project to do, or give your son the project who is going into the Quran, or give your daughter the project and say, come, let's do this project. Let's go through the Quran, find the 28 surah, write down the letters, and see if you look at these letters, whether they actually are 14 of the 28 letters of the alphabet. SubhanAllah. So many people have said this, that the Quran is mathematically perfect. And it is. But we can only discover this perfection if we do it ourselves. So please take this as your next, as your project. I mean, we want to give the children, all the children projects. It's a lovely project for them to do now. And also, it will set for them the tone of the Quran for the rest of their lives. They will realize that there's more to this. If the letters only that open the Quran make so much sense, mathematically or otherwise, then what about the rest of the Quran? SubhanAllah. What about the Quran that we can read and understand? What about those words? How valuable must those words be? SubhanAllah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the sea had to be turned into ink and the trees had to be turned into pens, they would not be able to write the beauty of this Quran. And it's so true. I can tell you that it's so true. So, the other point the scholars say, and the people like Zamakhshari and Qultub from the 2nd century, from the 3rd century, Ibn Qayyim, these are all people who wrote books on these 14 letters and described all kinds of interpretations which they had. It says that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also put these letters at the beginning of the surah is that these letters were used by the Arabs in everything they did, in their speech, in their writing. They were familiar, very familiar with these letters. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have put these letters there, says some of the scholars in the interpretation, to show that I, Allah, can create of these letters a miracle without it being put into words, just by using the letters. SubhanAllah. Just by using the letters, Allah subhanAllah can draw our attention. How beautiful is tadabbur? This is tadabbur, it's applying your mind. Just two letters. Anybody can do that. So this is the special perspectives that and some of these surahs begin with one letter, Noon. Some begin with two letters, Taha and Yasin. Some begin with three letters. Some begin with four letters. And some begin with five letters. And this is exactly, if you look at the Arabic language, there are words that can consist of one letter, like Ba, for example, Billahi, we swear by Allah. Qata'atu shay'an bisikin, I cut something with a knife, B, with, so B can be, waw is just a letter, but it means, and there are words that have two letters, there are words that have three letters, there are words that have four letters in Arabic, and there are words that have five letters. So these muqatta'at, these opening letters, are there one, two, three, as if they're indicating that these are the number of letters that can be used to form actual words in the Arabic language as well. These disjointed words that I've given to you at the beginning of the surah also tells you that these letters can be combined in the Arabic language to form a word. One letter, two letters, three letters, four letters, or five letters. Not six or seven, etc. So that is again, brings us to the miraculous nature just of these letters. Subhanallah. Another interpretation. Look how the scholars have dissected in their minds, trying to find perspective on these opening letters. Let's look at the word Alif Lam Mim. If you pronounce Alif Lam Mim, you will find that the alif comes from the throat. Ah. The lam comes from the palate or the tongue. So, ah, alif starts here. Alif starts here. Lam is in the middle of the mouth. And mim is at the end of the mouth, on the lips. So, alif. Lam Mim is beginning, middle, and end. And Zabakhshari says, one of the ulama, he says, what does this mean? Beginning, middle, and end. He says, if you read all the surahs beginning with Alif Lam Mim, what will you find? You will find that these surah is the plural of surah. These surah, the beginning of it speaks about creation. The middle of it speaks about man. The beginning speaks about the beginning of creation. The middle of the surah talks about the middle of creation, and the end of the surah talks about the end of creation, or Qiyamah. Subhanallah. Just applying their mind. And this only applies to those surahs that begins with Alif Lam Mim. So you now can tell your son or your daughter, do this for me also. Read these surahs, and if they can't read Arabic, read in English. Tell me if this is the pattern of the surah. Does the beginning of Alif Lam Mim surah talk about creation? Does the middle of the surah talk about the middle of creation? And does the end of the surah talk about the end of creation? Surah Luqman, for example, opens with Adam, which is the beginning of creation, and ends with Qiyamah, which is the end of creation. And Surah Luqman begins with Alif Lam Mim. So, then they discovered by applying their mind, that all those surah that starts with the letter Ta, for example, Taha, all of them begin with the history of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Just as by chance. Is this by chance? Or has it been planned by the great planner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah says in the Quran, as time goes on, I will show mankind that this Quran is the truth. In themselves, when they look into themselves, and when they look at things around them, everything around them. If they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will certainly discover that this book is the truth. And when you discover that this book is the truth, you come to the realization that means that Akhirah is the truth. That means that Jannah is the truth. That means that Jahannam is the truth. Subhanallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And if you get that realization, you realize that you have to prepare yourself for that. You have to do that which is correct, that which is required of you. We Muslims should not waste our time on things which our religion has not said we should do in a religious context. Yes, we have to do everything else. Go to work, study, become a doctor, become a lawyer, become a dentist, become whatever we want to become. Encourage our children to do that. But remember, if they only have that, how are we going to convince them that there's an Akhirah? How are we going to, and that is the only thing that directs a person's life. Your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops you from doing things, and that is what we should teach our children. And so we should bring this knowledge to them to make them aware of the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that Allah has said is the truth in the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hamim. Hamim, if you read the surahs that starts with Hamim, the scholars say, that surah always begins with revelation. For example, in Surah Fussilat, Hamim, Tanzeelun Mir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah says, Hamim, Tanzeelun, this is a revelation from Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Surah Ghafir, Allah says, Tanzeelul Kitab, Hamim, Tanzeelul Kitab. Allah says, Surah Ghafir, the book. The sending down of the book, revelation of the book. So they've looked at all the beginning of the surah, and they try to link it with something in the surah which makes that surah stand out. Of course, these are only the beginning words of that surah. The next generation of people who should look into this now is to look into the actual surah which has these letters in front and to see. What are the specialities of these 28 surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used these words for? So, love. I have given you an example of Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim. Now, all my years of study and reading, I've always come across the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which says that man kana akhir kalami la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, it's a sahih hadith, if a person's last words that he utters are the words La ilaha illallah, he will enter Jannah. Now, I'm very worried about this. How am I going to say La ilaha illallah if I'm in a coma? How am I going to say La ilaha illallah when I'm so sick? I can hardly move my hands. Don't worry. If you love La ilaha illallah, Allah will make you say La ilaha illallah. Allah wants you. And if you are by your full senses and you die and you did not love La ilaha illallah, no matter how many people will make talqeen for you, La ilaha illallah, you will not say La ilaha illallah. The life and the end goes together. Life and the end of that life goes together. Can't separate the two. But this has always baffled me. Why did the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not say La ilaha illallah? You must say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Why only La ilaha illallah? We are told that the kalima is La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. But the Prophet left out Muhammadun Rasulullah and said, you must just say, there is no ilah except Allah. And I always say to myself, inshallah, one day when I pass away from this world, I would like to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Until I discovered that and seen a lot of people pass away, that at that moment of passing away, that last few moments, because that's the last few moments of your life, when people are all standing around and saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. That the words La ilaha illallah requires you only to move your tongue and nothing else. Say to yourself, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. You don't even have to move your lips. La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so simple for us that we don't need any energy. We just need to move our tongue up and down. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah could have said, you must read Yasin before you die, you'll go to Jannah. Or you must say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Allah says, via his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say only La ilaha illallah. These great words. And that is what, and these words, La ilaha illallah, which is so simple to say, is the best dhikrullah. People came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah and said, Ya Rasulullah, we're in Arafah. But what do we do here? There's no salah. There's nothing we can do here. Of course, Allah just wants me to be in your presence. But they tell us, give us some dhikr we can make. And the Prophet said, just say La ilaha illallah. Bas. And the Prophet said, that is the adhkar, the dhikr of all the anbiya before us. 124,000 made only one dhikr. La ilaha illallah. There are many other dhikrs to remember Allah. But this is the best. And everybody can say it. La ilaha illallah. And we should honor these words and love these words. You know, I listen sometimes to the radio stations. I listen to a particular radio station. This is particularly before the Salah, before the Adhan, or after the Adhan, I can't remember, where they have somebody translating the words of the Quran into English. And every time this person translates those words of the Quran into English, it is like somebody stabs me in my heart. You ask why? Because the person who's translating the Arabic into the English, he says Allah. And Allah says, and Allah says, it's like, Subhanallah. We are 2 billion Muslims. We can't find one person who can say the name of Allah, Allah. Find that person to translate the Quran into another language to say the word. We don't care. The man says, Allah, Allah, Allah. I switch the radio off. How is it possible that we've been listening to this radio for so many years and this man has been on for so long? And there's Allah, subhanallah. The highest name that is given to the Lord of creation. We let somebody just come along and mess it up. I mean, if somebody says your name wrong, you get you say, no, that's not my name. My name is this, or my name is that. Imagine how angry Allah gets when 2 billion Muslims allow people, maybe he's a Muslim, maybe he's not a Muslim. But even if he is not a Muslim, he should have been taught how to say the words, how to say Allah's name correctly, Allah. And we should teach our children how to say Allah. Like we should teach them, Assalamu alaikum. Because we start them off as they small with salam, but as they grow older, we should teach them the correct method of greeting, which is Assalamu alaikum. So that gives us some indication of the beauty of the letters. Not just come, doesn't come out of our mouth, no. And we know the whole Quran is based on what is called tajweed phonetics, which is all about the makharij, or where the words come from in the mouth, from the lips, from the tongue. Is it guttural? Is it smooth? Is it A? Is it U? Is it E? And one of the miracles of these 14 letters also that is used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open these particular surahs, they also contain, these letters also contain half of the letters of the Arabic alphabet that gives a special intonation to that particular letter. There are letters we have particular, like the qalqala or the tafkhim. It's a big lesson, so I'm just mentioning this to you. That the way the word is said, these 14 letters contain all those words. Half of it. The other half is found in the other half of the alphabet. But in this half of the alphabet, all those letters with different kinds of places where they come from, they're all found also in this 14 letters. Subhanallah. Who could have done this? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you haven't even started the Quran, you've just started with Alif Lam Mim and the miracle opens. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I want to say to you that I don't consider these words which I'm saying to you as lectures. I don't regard it as lectures. I am a teacher. And I regard this, you are my students, and I'm your teacher for this. And I want you to take it in that light, in that spirit. So I always tell my students, when you come to class, always have a book in front of you and a pen in your hand. Because the pen and the book focuses you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He is the one who taught man by the pen or with the pen. And he sent down the book. So books and pens is part of our spiritual tools that we must use to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always have a little book. Write down, make notes. Whatever you write down, remember every word you write down will appear in front. Qiyamah, Allah will open your book and all the notes that you made. Allah will say, oh, you said in that class? He says, yes, the book will come and say, Ya Allah, I'm a witness. Yeah, this is what he wrote. Even if it's just one word. But it's evidence. It's like salah. Wherever you've made salah in your life on that piece of earth will bear witness that you had stood there to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need all these evidences. You know to get what? To get Jannah? I want to introduce the first word which comes after Alif Lam Mim. The first word that comes after Alif Lam Mim, you all know it. Alhamdulillah. Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika. Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-Kitab. Just a taste of, inshallah, if Allah spares me, what may come in the future. If you had known a little bit of Arabic, you'd have asked a very simple question on that word, Dhalika al-Kitab. You'd have asked your teacher or your mother or your father or whoever, or yourself, why does Allah say, Alif Lam Mim Dhalika al-Kitab? Why does Allah say that book? La rayba fi. In it, there is no doubt. Allah says, Dhalika al-Kitab, that book. Why did Allah say this book? Why does Allah say that book? Which book? Now, the non-Muslims, the Orientalists, when they comment on this, they say, well, actually, that year means the Torah and the Injil, the Bible and the Talmud and the Torah. That's why God says, right from the beginning, that book in which there is no doubt. Because Allah, in the other parts of the Quran, when Allah refers to the Quran, Allah says, هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوى. Allah says, this Quran leads to that which is the best. إن هذا القرآن يهدي لله. So, inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah refers to the Quran, Allah says, هذا القرآن, this Quran. So why didn't Allah say in the beginning, هذا الكتاب, ألف لام ميم, هذا الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Why didn't Allah say, this book? In it there is no doubt. This is another miracle. It's another indication that this book is divine. No man touched this book. This book is divine. Absolutely divine. So, and the miracle of Islam is not anything but the book. That's why we should just get close to the miracle. We look at other people and we say, oh, that man, you know, he did this miracle and he did that miracle and did that miracle. He was such a great man, you know, he's a man that his father and father and father and father was so-and-so and so-and-so, and you can trace his roots back to so-and-so, and you know, this is what he did. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What? We can't confirm that. But we can confirm that the Quran is the miracle. We have it with us. So let's discover this miracle. And this journey, inshallah, will be for us, for me and for you. May Allah spare me, may Allah spare all of us to take this journey in a way that it'll be a pleasure and a joy for us to be able to see the divine miracle in the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the capacity to understand. May Allah guide us to realize the importance of knowledge and reading, and not only the Quran. Read whatever books you want to read. Read any book. Read all books. Particularly, of course, books connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good health, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that by us making the sacrifice to learn and to teach, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase our sins, not just forgive us, but will erase our book of sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of you and protect all of us in these. People say it's trying times, but it's not actually. Look at the benefits that we have here. If it wasn't for the lockdown, I wouldn't be sitting here and you wouldn't be sitting at home and listening to this. If that is the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us from this, I think it's enough. Alhamdulillah. Don't give us more, ya Allah. And let us stop complaining. والله تعالى عالم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Until we see again, inshallah.